Hello, everybody. Welcome to Revive Health's Daily Briefing Live for Wednesday, June 3rd. This, as you know, is our 30-minute review of the latest, most important news, resources, and advice for health system marketers and communicators dealing with COVID-19. I'm Sasha Bogosian, your guest host for today's show. Really happy to be back with everybody and really excited about today's conversation. First, I'm joined by Chase Kleckner, our Senior Marketing Manager at Revive Health, and our show's producer. Hi, Chase, how are you?
I'm doing well, Sasha. Good to have you back as host.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. I didn't know if I'd be invited back.
Absolutely.
I'm really excited about today. I think it's going to be a great discussion. And the discussion is going to be with Corey Ashford, someone who I've had the pleasure of knowing for quite a number of years. Corey's a healthcare marketing communications professional with about 20 years of experience in the field. She's currently Director of Integrated Communications at the American College of Surgeons. As you know, the organization is a scientific and educational association of surgeons that was founded in 1913 to improve the quality of care for the surgical patient by setting high standards for surgical education and practice. And obviously a really important time for us to be talking about what's on the mind of surgeons as we sort of start to get back slowly to regularly scheduled services. So I expect it to be a great discussion that provides some insights about what's at the top of mind for surgeons. Hi, Corey, how are you?
I'm good, Sasha. How are you?
Not bad. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Excited about the discussion as well.
Great. As we do with each show, we'll plan on covering the latest news on COVID-19 and how it relates to marketing communications. We'll highlight some helpful resources. We'll go through some numbers in terms of case counts. We'll share what we're seeing and hearing from MarCom professionals around the industry, and we'll open the floor to questions. As we move through the show, please use the questions queue right in the Zoom application to line up your questions, and we'll get to as many of them as we can. And you can also talk to other participants using the chat function. But again, if you have questions, don't use the chat function. Just post it in the questions queue so that we can get to it. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for Revive Health Daily Briefing Live and you'll be able to find it. We typically post the recording of every episode by the end of today, and you can find that on our website at thinkrevivehealth.com/COVID-19. And you'll find this recording as well as other content that we develop and post periodically at that same hub. A couple of important notes. We're not experts on COVID-19 medically, so this is not a place to come to for medical or scientific advice or resources. As marketers, we do have opinions about how marketers and communicators might want to manage the COVID-19 crisis. But everyone's situation is unique, and in the end, you still have to make your own decisions about what's best for you and your organization. So let's begin. The first part, as you'll be familiar with if you've listened to it before, is we always start the day with the latest count. It's really important for us to keep tabs on how the crisis is growing in the US and hopefully eventually how it's going to be receding. And that provides us really good context for the discussions that we have, as well as how you ought to be thinking about timeline and sort of appropriateness of message within your own market. Just a reminder, we use Johns Hopkins data that's shared on their online dashboard. And the latest where it stands globally is a case count of 6,425,284. And the death count globally is 381,064. Here in the US, we're just north of 1.8 million. It's 1,835,681. And sadly, the death count is at 106,312. The death count has been slowing a little bit, as I'm sure you all are aware. But again, there are flare-ups as we're seeing from market to market, and the trend lines vary pretty widely, even among the big markets in the US. So we advise that you really pay attention to the trends locally as you think about communications messages and their appropriateness. Really quickly, anytime you might need resources, we've got some available on our own website. It's revivehealth.com/COVID-19. We publish a significant amount of research there as well, particularly around what's top of mind for patients as they start thinking about how to come back to get healthcare services. And that's a place you can sort of read more on that issue, which I think is time well spent if you're trying to get to know what patients are thinking. So for the discussion today, I think as health system marketers, you're all no doubt in some phase of transition, going from direct COVID response to somewhat of a sort of regular, startup of services to patients outside of COVID services. And on the front lines of that is this massive demand that's been pent up over the last few months for surgical services. And this means that organizations, as local regulations and guidance allow, are sort of opening up their surgery services and starting to get through the big backlog of surgery patients that had procedures canceled or postponed because of COVID. And really the front lines of that in terms of the service providers are your organization's surgeons. We think that it's absolutely imperative for us to really know what's top of mind for our surgeon community. What are some of the struggles that they're dealing with? What do they have in mind, and what are the needs that they have that we can accommodate as we think about working together to make sure that patients are served best? So there's really nobody better positioned than Corey and her role to share those insights with us. So I'd love to sort of jump right into it, Corey. Can you just spend a little bit of time telling us what are the challenges that surgeons perceive that need to be recognized or accommodated by the institutions that they're working at right now?
Yeah, you know, it's been for everyone, for all of us in so many different ways, such a crazy past 3 months, and everything is changing on such a frequent basis that it's been interesting to watch from our point of view and from the surgical profession go from the need to pause, quote, elective surgeries and really just focus on truly urgent care so that the healthcare systems were prepared for the surge in COVID-19 patients, and then how we could get surgeons the information they need as quickly as possible to help manage their new role in helping care for COVID-19 patients in some instances. And then as we transition back to a ramp up, what can we consider to help empower our surgeons to get ready for that? And, you know, I think throughout that process, there's been, the concern has been completely focused on the patient. And, you know, even what the pause in elective surgery really means to them, because there's the vernacular of elective, I think doesn't always translate to meaning it's not a critical surgery that needs to take place. So the essence of delaying care and what that meant to the patient, even though it was necessary, given COVID-19. So now that we move into this new phase with this ramp up, I think what we're hearing and what we really want to help provide to our members in the broader surgical community are ways to help them help their patients feel good about returning for surgery. And that's what, you know, your research that you did and I found so interesting is that, of course, there are fears in returning to surgery. As a human being, I can completely relate to that. But there's also a significant impact as well, as if you don't, if you delay your care longer than necessary, then it can turn into something that is very, very critical. And so as professionals in the marketing and communication space, how then can we help work with the surgical community to in turn make their patients feel okay about coming back to care? And that's something we've been really focused on in the past few weeks.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, that a lot of our focus has sort of been on getting the patient to know that the time to come back is now, but a lot of the sort of soft support that they might need and their surgeons might need maybe hasn't been part of the focus. Can you talk a little bit about what you've been hearing from your membership and just within your organization about what surgeons are hearing when they do get to talk to their patients who are getting ready to come in or who are coming in for procedures?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the geographical area, but I would say even in some cities or more rural areas, I suppose, where they haven't seen as much of a COVID-19 surge, they're still hearing from patients that there's a fear for coming back in. So when restrictions were lifted and they would reach out to patients who had been scheduled that then had to have their care delayed to get back onto the schedule, they were finding in some instances upward of 70% of patients weren't ready to return. And that was a few weeks ago, but that's an enormous number. So you already have a significant backlog and there's people that are, you know, still delaying care. So it's really significant.
Yeah, it's a huge number, and maybe some percentage within that might be okay sort of delaying, but there I have to believe that there's a significant chunk of that percentage whose medical condition probably worsens pretty dramatically the longer that they wait. I'm curious your thoughts on that and what marketers can do, those who are on the line and those who are listening, can do to really focus just as much on the danger of waiting as mm-hmm. our readiness to provide care now, which seems to be where the message is focused for the most part.
I mean, I think it comes down to just sheer facts, right? So anecdotally, one story that I heard from one of our surgeon members is that there had been a patient who had delayed care. He had back pain. He felt more comfortable going to see a physical therapist than he did actually coming back for the surgery that he needed. By the time he did arrive for the surgery, it was such an acute phase that I believe he had an aneurysm, and it you know, became an incredibly dire situation. So had perhaps something in that person's mind felt, I am comfortable going to a physical therapist, but I'm not comfortable going into the surgical facility. So I think, you know, what was that perhaps? And, you know, we can only guess in that particular case, but I think more broadly speaking, and your research backs this up, is, you know, the more knowledge you have, the more empowered you feel to make the decision that's going to be right for you. And it just comes down to facts and really understanding at a level that as communicators and certainly in the healthcare profession, perhaps aren't necessarily used to delivering details on down to cleaning supplies. You know, PPE is something that the broad population probably did not know what that stood for 6 months ago. And I think if you did a survey now, most of us know what that is, right? So what are you using? Is it going to be available for me? Is it going to be reused in each case? You know, things that surgeons probably aren't used to communicating, and the need for them to be aware that it's that level of detail that you need to proactively communicate to your patients if you can. So we've heard a lot about you know, surgeons taking the time to reach out directly to their patients prior to them coming in for the visit to walk them through some of the steps that they are taking to increase that comfort level. And I think the more that they can do that, the better. And certainly for some institutions that have, you know, large institutions behind them, the marketing and communications function is at a place where they can really help do that for those who work there. But when you're talking about surgeons in private practice, when you're talking about those who are in smaller institutions and rural communities who might not have those resources from which to draw, you know, we see it at the American College of Surgeons as part of our responsibility to help empower individual surgeons to be able to take those steps as well. So that's pretty critical, and we've developed some resources to help them do that.
That's great. That's an area that's really interesting to me. I think traditionally marketers inside of health systems and hospitals have an interesting relationship with clinicians and the figuring out sort of where the line is of how much you ask them to do that is communication centric versus leaving them alone to do their job has always been sort of an interesting middle point to find. I'd love to get your take on how sort of willing you've seen surgeons be in the last month or few weeks in taking sort of a more visible role in being communicators or being involved in the delivery of communications that their organizations are sending out to patients.
Yeah, I think they are incredibly willing and want to take the steps to make their patients feel comfortable. I mean, it goes back to the patient-centered care and wanting to make things right for the patient, whether that be in the operating room with the actual surgical procedure, but everything that goes around that too. I think surgeons see themselves as incredibly accountable for everything that happens as it relates to the surgery. And I have not spoken to one surgeon who doesn't feel that doesn't extend beyond the operating room. So how they can do that, they want to do that. They want to take the time and be as proactive as they possibly can be, even if it's a role that they're not necessarily used to doing. You know, I don't think communicating with their patients is new, but communicating in this way probably is new. And that's the big difference.
Yeah, and just going back to the research that we've done over the last month, what we've heard really clearly is that the people at the very front of the line, the surgeons and the physicians who interact with patients, they have the most credibility in helping patients not necessarily overcome their fear, but sort of put it in context and understand the sort of give and take or the dynamics involved, and maybe be more ready to come in for services and procedures. So I think it's really important that communicators figure out how to get those voices involved, the voice of the surgeon in communicating to patients to help them get ready. So I'm very glad to hear that what you're hearing from them is really this open willingness to be part of that dialogue.
I feel like it's a shared responsibility too. You know, it's making sure that we are communicating to surgeons what we understand to be patient fears, but it's also empowering the patients as well to come prepared with questions to ask. I think that a lot of people, and again, your research bore this out too, don't necessarily realize all the fears that they have. And don't necessarily know how to articulate them. You know, we know as healthcare marketers that when you get into a situation when you're asking questions of a doctor, this extends far beyond surgeons, that you don't always bring up the things that you want to bring up because you might feel that your questions aren't valid. And I think it's you know, on us and on our surgical community too, to try to draw those questions out, empower the patients to ask the questions that they need to ask. You know, I think back to my own surgical experience several years ago when I had a surgery, and still the details of that experience kind of stick with me. And the questions I probably would have asked that I were informed after the surgery, but I had no idea what to ask going into it, right? And now with COVID-19, there's a whole other layer of details that you want to know from the moment you arrive at the facility and you step out of your car to how you're going to be treated down to, you know, how are your family members going to be informed of your progress if it's something where you have to be admitted, how is your food going to be served, like there are just every single detail and you don't even necessarily know what to ask. So, you know, I referenced the resources that we developed. It's really twofold. We developed a toolkit for surgeons that can help them communicate in their communities that they are opening back up for all procedures and that they are welcoming patients back in, but they want to help their patients prepare and how to communicate to them. That's one part. But the second part is a patient discussion guide that has a number, I think it's 3 pages long, of potential questions to ask so that you can really think about it and think through, okay, yes, that is relevant to me. Maybe that's not something I care about. And then come to the discussion, you know, ready to answer those questions and have the knowledge to make their own decision. You know, it's creating an empowered environment where the patient can say, yep, I am ready, or no, I need a little bit more time.
That's a really good point. You mentioned something earlier, I want to go back to it, about really having the surgeon's need in mind. I'm curious, from your perspective, what do surgeons need that communicators and marketers can address to help make resumption of surgery successful?
I think they need support from a national organization, international organization such as ours that says, this is a problem. We've identified it as a problem. We know you are experiencing this on the ground. Here are ways that we can help. But also here are resources for how you can communicate locally. Because to your point, surgeons are experiencing just an incredible amount of highly earned trust from the patient community. The patients want to hear from them. They're not going to, you know, take it necessarily from an elected official that says, yep, it's good to go back now. Like, okay, now I want to hear from the person who's going to be in the room with me and doing the procedure. And I want to make sure I trust them. I want to know how they feel about things and the details from them. So that's a really big responsibility on the surgeon's shoulders, in addition to all of the other things that they need to think about. And I think they want to take that on, but it's not necessarily a natural role as it is for someone who's in marketing or communications. And so that's something that I think we need to provide to them, that sort of air cover, if you may, so that they can find it as easy to take on that additional responsibility on top of everything else, on top of an environment that's changing still quite rapidly.
That makes a lot of sense. So one thing that we've had to deal with a little bit with health system clients that your insights would be really valuable to is that as we resume surgery, one of the focal points for the health system or the institution is to address the pent-up demand as quickly as possible, and then getting surgery sort of online to the maximum allowable limit. And within that dynamic, there might be some friction points that emerge, particularly with surgeons. I'm curious, are there points of friction that you've seen or heard about, or that you all have discussed within your organization as health systems sort of resume?
Yeah, I think that the points of friction are how to ramp up and do it in a way that works well for the institution and for the surgeon and also with the patient. And when you're working in a dynamic situation such as this, where there's a number of different questions, where okay, we're pivoting from, are we going to have enough PPE, are we going to have enough supplies, are we going to have enough staff, we're back to a place where we can ramp up again. There's questions just like, are we ready? How do we address the patient concerns? And how do we have those, really honest conversations to make sure that we really are ready to go online and can really ramp up in the best way. And I think, from the surgeons I've spoken to, institutions that have done that really well and what has helped alleviate the friction is it just goes back to communication and having a headquartered central operations command where they are very clearly mapping out how we're doing things with all the different healthcare professionals that that touch the different procedures within the hospital, and meeting daily, if not twice daily, to have that open and honest dialogue about this is what's happening. This is the status report. This is what's working well, what's not. Let's make a change and go from there. And that's where I think things are working quite more smoothly, perhaps, than in places where that's not happening.
Yeah, and it certainly takes a lot more sort of synchronization and organization to bring in those considerations. But to your point, and it's been our experience too, the more voices we have in sort of operationalizing all of this, the smoother it seems to go. Maybe it slows down a little bit, at least in the couple of cases that I've been involved with, but it seems to go much more smoothly in terms of matching need of the patient, but the true readiness and resources within the organization as well.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go way back. I think it was maybe the first question that you were answering. You said something really interesting, and I'd love to hear more about it. Talking about just the language that we use in describing elective surgery, and maybe that's not doing us a lot of favors in really helping people understand maybe the importance and the acuity of some of these procedures. I'd love to better understand your organization's thinking behind that, and if there are cases where you have seen or heard marketers really try to change the way they approach that language and what they call surgery in general, and whether there's been any results, and how important do you think it is in terms of whether we should focus on it or not?
Yeah. No, thank you for that question. It's a great question. I think elective and non-elective surgery is so ingrained in the lexicon we use around surgery, full stop. So, you know, before COVID-19, before we're pausing those procedures, I don't know that it, I don't know, it may have been a point of discussion before, but it is certainly a big focal point of discussion and actively within the surgical community right now. Because non-elective doesn't mean it's not essential. It just means that, you know, you're not in a situation where you might lose your life if you don't have the surgery right this very second. You know, so there's discussions around non-emergent, but if I'm a patient, I don't know that I really understand what emergent means or how that's different from elective or not elective. You know, from my perspective, I think changing to essential surgery, I like the word essential because it truly is. But I think there's a lot that would have to happen before there's a sea change in how we shift how we talk about these operations, but it's absolutely come into the spotlight given COVID-19. And as it goes back to the ramp up, now that we're ramping up, and people think, well, you paused elective surgeries don't mean, I think a lot of people have it in their minds that it's tied to just procedures that someone, you know, proactively goes and isn't seeking out because of pain or something that is inherently needed. And because of that, people look now, okay, well, you're ramping it back up. Like how bad was it that we paused these elective surgeries? Well, actually it was a pretty significant impact because there are patients who essentially needed it who have delayed the care and now need that care ever so much more. So I think that there's more to come. And so watch that space, but I think it's something, an issue that COVID-19 has really brought to light.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when I think about the word, and I'm in healthcare, but when I think about the word, it sort of feels quality of life related and not health condition related. So I'm glad to hear your perspective on it. I think it's really important that we pay attention to what impacts language has, because it can help to impact the way people think about how importantly or how seriously they ought to take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we're just a couple minutes from the end of the show. It's been a really great conversation. It's just really important to take in the perspective of the folks that are sort of on the front lines, and also think about the opportunities that they can present us if we can sort of leverage their participation as surgeons as the most credible voice in healthcare for patients, when we know that patient fear about coming back to get the care that they need is really rampant, and there are things they need to overcome to be able to sort of get back to the services that they need, and that the surgeon's voice might be really, really helpful to that. So I appreciate the perspective that you've shared about all of that today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, fantastic. We've sort of reached the end here, so that's it for today's show. We really appreciate you joining all of us. If there are topics that you'd like us to cover in future episodes, please share that in the Zoom chat tool. And remember to visit us at thinkrevivehealth.com/COVID-19, both for our recording of today's episode, as well as all the other content that we distribute related to COVID-19. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and just please remember to let others know if you find this helpful to give the podcast a try. And to all of you out there who are on the front lines, marketers, communicators, thank you very much for all that you're doing. It's absolutely vital to do the work that you're doing at this particular time. Hang in there, keep up the amazing work, and the skills that you're bringing as marketers and communicators to your organization are absolutely critical in helping people sort of understand the times that we're in and getting them reconnected to the care that they need and helping them sort of live the best quality life that they can. So we really appreciate the work that you're doing out there. We'll be back tomorrow and every day until this crisis passes. And until then, we'll talk soon.